Phantom House. It's the place for podcasts.
I'm ready. Welcome to the living room. Please make yourself at home. This week, I spoke with Struck Out once again and for the final time. We talk about dealing in excess, making conversation the base of a band, and how you gotta always be moshing. You can find them on struckoutmusic.bandcamp.com. I love my friends dearly, and I hope you enjoy this last formal episode. Let's get into it.
All right, one. I'll watch you too. Sorry.
stay the way you are. Memory is away. People start to sing. I can't let them go. If you stay the way.
Nice.
Yeah, it worked out.
Yeah.
Can I
yeah.
have you all introduce yourselves and what you're playing? Please.
Wow. Everyone at once.
From left to right?
I mean, whatever works. You can go inside, outside, like inside, whatever outside. You want to do.
All right, I'm talking already. So I'm Daniel, and I play guitar right now, but normally I play bass guitar.
Hi, Daniel.
I'm Andrew, I'm playing upright.
I'm James, and I'm playing the box. I'm actually playing a cajon, I just like calling it a box.
It's the same thing.
It's a box.
It's a box. Damn box. I'm Josue, and I play guitar.
Okay, cool. I wanted to ask, first of all, since we're playing acoustic in this version, what went into making this version of the band and how it's different from how you usually play, because I imagine you have to approach certain things differently. At least I would imagine you would have to. So yeah. Tell me about that.
I think it's a lot of it. I think originally I was like, way back when the first time we did it, I was kind of like, oh, I don't know how that'll work. And then Josue was like, yeah, I know, Andrew, it'll work. It'll be fine. Don't worry about it. It's kind of like that. And so, yeah, I think with an upright bass and with Andrew, it kind of like holds together still. And we kind of like think about the songs we want to do. There's certain songs, I think they all would translate in some way, but there's definitely some songs that work better than others, probably.
Like what?
Like, I don't know, if it's like a loud, like, I'm trying to think. Like, I feel like we do scratch, and scratch is pretty cool as like a acoustic version, but I feel like Tell Me You Feel the Same, or like something longer, something that has more of like a constructed song element or like songwriter element, like translates better. Mm-hmm. I don't know, it just, you just play with what works, and then if it sounds cool, sounds cool. Like Queer Shit was one we tried out and I liked it, but it's also like when I'm playing it, I'm also like, this is weird, this is not.
Yeah, I think the noisier songs definitely translate a little worse than some of the less noisy ones, just because, I mean, it's hard to make noise on an acoustic guitar.
I don't think so. No, well, not at all. Yeah, it's like some of the songs are like kind of the funner ones, because then for me personally, like, it's just making more noises. It's an acoustic, it's a noise instrument in the end, because it's an acoustic instrument, so I just bang on it, scratch it, whatever. So I don't know.
Yeah, I feel like the most pressure is always going to be on Josue and Andrew to just like try it, and Andrew's not even technically part of Strikeout.
Yeah.
Honorary member.
I just have to hit a box. Yeah. So
they're doing just a huge favor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay, cool. So then the other thing that's like the other elephant in the room is that there's a new member of this band that's currently not here.
Is that an elephant?
Yeah.
It is an elephant.
Yeah, Garrett's new work schedule and trying to figure it out, and just like the time crunch, it was just like, oh, well, we can get together in an acoustic thing and it'll be that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we've been doing acoustic without Garrett, you know, for a while. And, mm-hmm. You know, with Andrew. And yeah, like Daniel said, Garrett's busy. So it was like, oh, well, we can already just do this because we already have the ensemble down. Mm-hmm. We really wish he could be here. Cause he does add like an entire new layer to this ensemble. Like when Garrett is playing guitar, it allows Josue to do lap steel and make other noises that are fun. Garrett also has some synthy things that add like a whole nother dynamic to the ensemble. But as you can see, we are functioning as a four piece. So we get it done.
I guess I wanted to ask, like, when Garrett plays, like, how the rest of you, how your roles in the band have changed. I think adding Garrett has added, like, an ability to be looser, because you don't have to play as much of a, like, a strategic role as you used to have to, just because you had to be, like, I have to be bass only, and that has to be, like, that whole layer of sound, or, like, Josue, like, their sound has to be, like, a certain type of a guitar just to be, like, the struck out guitar, and now there's, like, another person to, like, kind of, like, carry all of you also, and so you can, like, play around a little more. At least that's how I imagine it is, but I don't...
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, with the old songs, it's, like, a matter of, like, figuring out where Garrett fits in and what he wants to do with it. And when, like, I think Josue and Garrett have worked together a lot to try and, like, figure that stuff out.
For the older stuff, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, like, the older stuff is a little more straightforward just because it is what it is, I guess. Mm-hmm. But with the newer stuff, like, there's overdubs and stuff I did. So it's like, well, you're going to do this part I did, I guess, or whatever. Or, like, kind of opportunity, like, oh, I could do this now because there's, like, another guitar player. Like, what if you do this, or we switch roles, whatever. So if anything, it just... it allows us to kind of be more like the record, if anything, I think. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it fills up that missing element.
And with, like, brand new stuff, like the new songs we haven't even recorded, it's like, hopefully we're going to get a chance to work on that more in November, but when we did work on it, it was like a whole new way to write, you know, because you're writing it with Garrett and you're kind of trying to figure it out. And, you know, I'd take a more bass player mentality depending on what the song needs to, because a lot of time as a three piece, I was like, I just need to be as much as possible, just like fill out the sound and be as strong as like another band or whatever. But now it's two guitars, so I'm like, we're always going to be dealing in excess, but I can come up with like actual bass lines that like are actually like, I don't know, fit, I guess, more. There's more room.
Do you think like the future stuff is just like way more experimental than every other struck out album before?
Know. I mean,
like, I'm trying to like pin down because I don't think I've heard any of it yet.
Future stuff, yeah.
There's nothing like locked down yet. It's still like kind of being workshopped, I guess.
It's still very. I mean, the stuff we have worked on, like in my, it's all what I think it is, and it's not necessarily what it is, you know.
No.
Well, because like everything we did the last album, and that one's long, and like the songs are long. Like the album itself is kind of short.
Yes, it's a long.
But the songs are long, and my whole approach with this album wasn't even like I was just like I want to get back to just like. Filling shit with hooks, and then also being like there's like a Latin element that I wanted to include to it, and it's just like that's where my brain's coming at it. So it's still like experimental, but it's more like I guess like I'm trying to like hook per song, you know, like density, like I'm trying to maximize that, at least for me. And then how Josue approaches it is different than I approach it, and same with Garrett and James, like it's going to be different. But like my mindset is like the last album was like very like I was listening to a lot of like Kraut rock and like a bunch of nerdy shit, and so I was like I tried to be like I want to just like have a groove, and I want to have call and response stuff, and I want to be able to like come at it that way. Like that's where my head's at, even though it's still like experimental, like I'm still pushing myself, you know.
Yeah.
Like I'm trying to make something different.
And then Josue and James, like when I'm trying to pin down what's different now, because I feel like with previous albums it's been whoever, or usually Daniel, I think, like has an idea and then like brings it to the rest of you. And then you're like, okay, let's make more of like, and with this type of sound. So I'm imagining if there's a different approach with these newer songs, because like the bass, like the skeletal elements are like fundamentally different. And so you're like, are you trying to bring new shit from like within yourself to these? Like, how are you differently approaching
I would say it's songs? Hard to say, because the real writing of it won't start until November.
Yeah.
Right now it's just
they're still like we're still trying to figure stuff out.
Right now it's about like 20 iPhone recordings that I have on my and it's like we're talking about how we want to approach it, but that's like we you know it's going to be organically changed. Like I think Josue brought up that we want to like listen to the songs I have on my iPhone first and like just talk about them and like sit there with it and like look at them and talk about them, and then we'll try to like fuck with it, you know, whereas like my traditional way is just like play through the song once and then everybody just go which is work, but it's like we want to be like I guess just more thoughtful.
Yeah,
it's different songwriting.
Let's try a little.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Part of me, like when I had that idea, I think one day we were still trying to figure out stuff and like we did some songs or whatever. And at the end of it, we were all packing up, but Daniel was playing it from his phone. Like, oh, here's some other ideas. And we all started just hashing it out like more creatively that way than actually playing it. Cause when you just throw a riff at a person and you're like, play something, you're going to get what you get from there. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We're like listening to it, like, let's come back to this. And I could like come back with you with a cool idea. Whatever.
It just makes us like, I guess work smarter, not harder. You know,
more so creative
like
and
artsy. Yeah, and then you're not because it saves time, I guess, in the end because you're just like you're thinking about it more as opposed to like just like trying to figure it out right there on the spot. Hmm. And yeah, I don't know. It helps a little bit, and especially like I noticed when we did that, everyone was just more excited. Everyone was just like talking about it, like, "What are you gonna do with that?" You know, and somebody be like, "Dude, it's got to be like heavy right here," and I'd be like. Or like somebody will be like, no, like that's if we're very like Strikeout's very like defend your argument when we come to like ideas, you know what I mean? We'll be like, dude, it'd be sick if I did that, and like it'd be sick if you did that, but like here's why that would be a problem, like you know, or like vice versa, or, like
so true.
Yeah,
it is.
It is because it's like it's like so the whole point of this song is that we're hitting to this peak, and if you do that, you lose the peak or whatever, you know, like that's kind of how it goes.
So now it's just really leaning into the fact that like this band has like you gave this band homework and then you all came back with your completed assignments and you're like, okay, here's what we did.
And I think my job is always to have something to like chew on, you know, and always bring somebody. So I'm still like, I keep like recording stuff, you know, like I keep doing that. And hopefully by November we'll have a surplus. And then like once I get... The kind of songs I write when we're not in the process of like writing something are like songs that are like not the just for me personally, like not the crux, the media songs on the album. They're like good songs, but they're not I don't know if they're the media songs. I don't really get an idea for what like the album is until like we've started to shape like three or four songs, and then I can like go, okay, so here's what this is.
Is that the same for the rest of you? Like, do you also feel that way about, like, I wonder, like, if you feel the same way about the songs and where they stand, like, in an album, even, like, in, like, this baby form stage before that they become, at least, it seems like Daniel has an idea of, like, what the album is and what the songs all represent, and then I'm wondering if those are, I imagine they're not the same for you, the rest of you until, like, you actually have a conversation about them.
Yeah.
But.
Probably.
I mean, yeah, I mean, like, the typical thing, like, I always ask Daniel, like, tell me what the song's about, like, that's, like, more important than what the notes are, because I could figure that out, whatever, but, like, knowing where he's coming from is more important, because then I can, like, illustrate the whatever emotional or, like, tensional, whatever kind of thing that song needs, so, like, no matter what, it's kind of be, like, where it comes from, that kind of doesn't matter, I guess, a lot. Just because, like, that, I feel that part of it comes at the very end once the song is done, and, like, I have to approach from it, like, all right, what do I want to do with this now, you know? Because then I feel like it becomes, like, oh, crap. It becomes Daniel's song, and then I can sprinkle my personality on top of it.
Mm.
So.
Have there been times when your, like, expectations were, like, not flipped, that seems extreme, but, like, weren't what you thought they were going to be when it came to a song? Like, you're, like, oh, like, you heard something, you're, like, oh, I, like, you had an initial idea, and then... You talked over with the song and like, oh, maybe that's not going to work. Has there been things like that?
Not so much. I've always been kind of like, whatever happens, happens, you know? To me, a lot of the, like, when I write like a riff or like whatever, like stuff happens by accident and stuff, like in a live performance kind of thing. Cause I'm inspired at the moment. It's like, this happened because either I messed up or I just, in my head, like the moment before I play those notes, like, what if I did this instead of doing the typical thing? And either I love it or I hate it. And usually, like, I like it just because if I hate it, I don't remember it, I guess. But a lot of songs, like when we did Queer Shit, I felt like I really finalized a lot of the riffs when we did the last Living Room podcast, actually. Like that recording's like I changed a riff on the spot and when I heard it back, it's like, great, that sounds cool. That's going to be on the album kind of thing. So
that's nice.
Yeah. A little improvisation stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is this your last Living Room episode or your second to last?
This is the last formal one, yeah.
Okay. Well, how do you feel?
Oh, don't do that.
You've interviewed us like 2 times, so I just want, you know, want to see what's going on behind the chair.
I mean,
flipping the interview.
No, we're not doing that.
It's a gotcha.
This isn't a gotcha interview.
No, I don't know. You look pretty got.
No, Hannah and I are planning a like a formal like post-mortem type thing. So we'll talk about all that
you're
then.
You're gonna talk about, okay, all right.
Hannah's gonna interview me. It'll be great. cool. Can you all play something else, please?
Yeah.
Shut Daniel up. Yeah.
This song's a Crude Vacation Days. Okay. Parentheses. Daniel listens to Krautrock once. Yeah. End parentheses.
I love this song.
It's a fun song.
Just letting y'all know.
This is a good one.
What is your worth on that? You give a damn little lie to keep you alive.
That's very good.
Yeah.
It's a long song. It's a long song that I like a lot. And I like hearing it like this.
Yeah.
I like the resonance of it. Andrew, you're doing some heavy lifting.
Oh, yeah. For
and I'm
sure.
Like,
yeah, Andrew like carries that song.
For sure.
Yeah,
this
it's
is
really
Andrew's
good.
Reason for being.
It's like, it's basically the type of music, like hearing it like this, I'm like, oh, this is the type of music that got me into music in the first place. Like some Andrew Bird weird, like.
Like the acoustic version?
Like the acoustic version.
Oh, okay.
It's interesting. I'm like, oh.
Yeah, I don't know.
Oh, we did it.
Yeah, cool.
No, yeah, it's funny hearing.
We ratatouille you.
Yeah, you did.
Ratatouille me.
She got ratatouille. Oh, snap.
Yeah. What a line.
Took me back to Fake Problems. I like that album.
Oh, my gosh.
That's the one.
That's some shit, Andrew Bird.
Yeah.
That's some.
I'll take it.
No, it's I mean, good. That's my first girlfriend was really into Andrew Bird. That's like her favorite thing.
Oh, wow.
I'll still take it.
It's fine. Like, we're good now. It's been like 8 years.
Yeah.
It's been forever. We're fine.
Cool. So you guys just went on tour. East Coast tour.
We did.
Oh, yeah. Tell me about that. We've like kind of briefly talked about this like as conversation, but I was kind of holding back because I was like, well, we should talk about this in the future.
So one of my best friends, Connor, we grew up together, went to music camp together, et cetera, et cetera. We're in bands before Struck Out and currently as well. And he moved to Miami to go to college. And then after Miami, he moved to Boston. And then joined a band called Dreamwell, which is like Touche Amore meets Pianos Become the Teeth. They're very good. He hit me up and he was like, if you ever come to the East Coast, let's do a tour. And I was like, well, we're going to the East Coast. So we talked about it, booked tickets, flew out. And we did 4 days with Connor's band, Dreamwell. We started in Lowell, which is just outside Boston. Drove down to Philadelphia, then went up and played in Queens, New York, and then drove back up again and played in Somerville, which is also just outside of Boston, but the opposite direction. And then we flew home.
Cool.
And it was super cool.
Can you explain to me how flying your instruments works?
Yeah.
Like,
it's fun.
Because bands do this, and I'm like, I don't know how that works.
I mean, we borrowed half of their equipment, so really what I was taking was like my guitar and my pedals, and I think same with Josue.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then breakables for me. So I just basically threw a snare in one suitcase and the double kick and then cymbals in another suitcase.
Yeah.
And then just carried on my like clothing and whatnot. Yeah.
And the, I mean, mine, you loosen the strings and you just hope they don't fuck it up. Last time, when we went to South By, my case got all cracked, you know?
Mm.
They just toss it around. Mm. I've heard horror stories. I don't know.
Yeah,
that's why I'm like...
You just get lucky.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's also like, I don't know. You don't take your, you take your tour instrument. If you're fortunate enough to have like multiple instruments, you take the one that's like less likely to, or like where if it breaks it doesn't matter, which is all my instruments, because all my because I just have like a Squire like P bass, and that's really
and like you don't take your whole pedal board. Like I broke down my, like this is the pedals I use the most, or I could get away with, and I'll just put it in like in my clothes bag, whatever.
Yeah.
And I'm not gonna take my entire drum set, I'm just gonna take what would break,
right?
Because I hit it a lot.
Yeah.
It's a snare.
Yeah, I guess it just made sense to me, like drums, because I feel like people borrow kits all the time.
Yeah,
so
even
like,
locally, people just backline kits for whole shows.
Because I don't want to carry my drum in the car.
Yeah, exactly.
Makes sense.
Or it's just faster turnover, those kind of things.
Yeah.
And we were lucky enough that they let us use their stuff, and they're pretty nice dudes, you know?
They are very nice people.
Yeah.
Were there any shows that were really great?
New York.
From tour?
New York. New Queens was crazy.
I saw Barrier at that show.
Daniel
Our friend
Barrier.
Daniel Barrier.
It just showed indeed. The fuck up. I didn't even know he was there. He lives in Long Beach.
Yeah.
And he was just like, he did this thing where he like wanted to pop up and like, just like, hey, how's it going? But he like tripped. And so he like almost fell on top of me. And I was like, oh, why are you here? It was weird.
Yeah.
It was funny though. It was crazy.
Yeah, we had a lot of friends show up to that show. Tori as well.
Yeah.
Came out.
Was,
that was really cool.
Yeah, it
was a good mix of friends and just a loving crowd.
Yeah, very good crowd, asking me questions afterwards and stuff, you know.
Like what?
Like, where can I find you on Spotify? Or what was that last song? What was that last song you played? Like, or what do you
play? What inspires you?
Yeah, real fucking questions.
And we got paid, like, very well.
Yeah, we got paid.
Which is always nice.
Like, yes, indeed. Yeah. That was like gas for at least half of the drives.
So, that's good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's good, yeah.
That van was like a massive gas tank, though. Mm-hmm. It was, like, gross. Costing us like $80+ to fill it up.
Yeah, it was crazy.
It was wild.
Were you in the van with Dreamwell, or did they have their own?
So we rented it was like a 15-seater van, but they took out one of the rows for like trunk space, and then we were towing a rather large trailer behind that as well. So yeah, that was a kind of a nightmare. It was terrifying. We none of us drove, which was cool. It was like just Justin from Dreamwell driving. Major shouts out to Justin for driving the whole tour.
Yeah.
It was still absolutely terrifying being in the back seat and seeing just how close that van can get to parked cars. Just very, very, very close.
Yeah.
And we amazingly found parking in New York right next to the venue, like immediately. Like a space large enough for the whole van and trailer. It blew my mind that that was even possible in New York.
That's some New York stoked. Shit.
Yeah, it was some New York shit for sure. It was crazy.
And well, I'm wondering how if the shows felt any different in New York.
Versus totally.
Like, if like East Coast versus West Coast shows feel different based on like the type of bands that play, like who comes and like what the general like vibe is that like, I don't know. Tell me if it is or isn't.
There's some similarities, but there are also big ones, I guess. You know, I know for me personally, like how people like view us and stuff like that are a little different, like in that musical thing. I feel like in the West Coast, like at least the way I play, like it more like, oh wow, you're like entertaining to see or whatever, which is cool. You know, I try my best. Mm-hmm. But in the East Coast, people were more worried about musicianship and stuff like that, which I thought was kind of like, oh, like you like do this and this, or you do that and that. You know, it was more talking shop and stuff, which was kind of cool. You know, so that was different for me.
Yeah, I definitely get like out here, I get a lot of like, dude, you go really hard. Your facial expressions are like really gnarly. And I'm like, yep. And then out there it was more like, dude, you go really hard. How long have you been playing drums? And it was a lot of like asking me like technical stuff. I was like, oh, that's cool. I'd rather talk about this than my facial expressions. So
we're just like, we're emotional over here on the West Coast.
Yeah.
In tune with our feelings.
Yep.
Want to check
those,
in.
Those big feels.
I mean, it's also like, you know, four shows I can't take there.
No, for sure. Yeah. I'm just like, I'm just like having fun being taking the temperature of the scene on the other side.
It's different. I mean, it's all different. It feels different. And it felt like, you never know if anybody's going to show up to a show, you know, and you're playing, especially if you're like a band that like nobody's heard of, you know, you're playing out on the West Coast
from 3,000 miles away.
Yeah. And you're just dropping in, and like the Boston show was great. And the New York show was like great. And it was just randos, you know, like that was kind of cool to just like, oh, is a show going on? It would go, you know, and that's always like, I don't know. That's also like young people. Like as we're approaching like 30, you know, we're just like, I could just watch Netflix and it's like, you know, fair, like, you know, unless it's like your friend's band or a band you actually like care about, you go. But I remember being like, you know, 21, 22 and just going like, dude, let's go out to, that's what we do, you know. Mm-hmm. I still do that sometimes, but it's still like, I get it.
Yeah.
Like I can't,
it's less and less frequent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. It's whatever. I'm probably going to do this stupid thing till I die.
Was it mostly house shows or like, were you playing?
No, there was only one house show.
Philadelphia. What were the venues? What were you,
so,
where were you playing?
Our first day in Lowell was at a place called Uncharted, which was a art pizza. Space. Yeah, it was like art space pizza bar kind of spot. They had a lot of like art on the walls. They were selling like kind of art gallery kind of thing, along with a bar. So that was cool. It was like a cool kind of flex space. Philadelphia was a house.
Basement.
That was cool. They had a lot of cool lights. New York was a bar, but it was a bar, like it was only a bar in like the very front where it was like actual, you know, like seating and a very bar atmosphere. And then the second you go through the double doors, it was basically like a theater in the back. And so we played on like a actual stage with like
monitors and stuff.
That was crazy.
They had like a comedy show before us.
They did. Yeah, there was a comedy show right before the show that we played. And I think there was like, what, 5-6 bands that night?
Yeah.
So it was like a very long night, and like people hung out the entire time. It was wild. And then heading back, Somerville, we played at the Greek American Social Construction Club, which was literally a hangout spot for old Greek dudes, you know, like a
classic club.
Good old boys Greek club.
It was run by like a cute little old couple. And they were like, punk rock.
I played. I remember playing, and I was very, very sweaty, and I went to the restroom and was using like paper towels to kind of like wipe some sweat off, and the woman that was running the bar comes up and says, was like, we should have prepared a shower for you. I was like, please next time. But it was cool. The old Greek dudes didn't seem like too stoked that we were there, but it was still a good time.
What you gonna do?
But I guess they have a lot of like crazy punk shows there though.
They do.
So this they're kind of cool with it, but
The band, one of the bands we play with, Labor Hex, their bassist was also the bassist of a one of the founding metalcore bands of like the early 2000s, the Red Chord. So it was really cool, like hanging out with them and just being like, "Oh, you're just like just a punk band in Boston that's shredding." Mm-hmm. And then this guy in the band was also in like one of the biggest metalcore bands like in the U.S. for the time. It was just really nice, like meeting people like that, where they're just still like very, very down to earth, like regardless of their past successes or current successes, they're just like super down to earth and like
just
down to just
it.
Talk shop and killing it. Like, it, I don't know.
It was cool. They were like the coolest dudes.
They were super good.
And they're really, really good.
The Labor Hex was like, I don't like drive like Jehu-ish like noise rock stuff, but they were just like fucking ripping. I don't know. It was cool.
Yeah. And their new EP rips.
On Spotify. We're selling Spotify this band right now.
Selling Labor Hex.
They were really well constructed songs too. There's plenty of bands that can riff. I don't know. But it was just like,
but they riff.
Did you book the whole tour, or was that through Dreamwell, or?
It was like a collective effort. Dreamwell did a couple of the shows. Garrett handled one. I handled one.
I see.
Yeah, it was kind of just like, it was just like everybody kind of, we all kind of pulled our resources and just kept plugging at it until things fell into place. Mm-hmm. I think we managed to lock everything down like 2 weeks before we left. So that was nice.
That's not terrible.
Not bad at all. I mean, I've done tours in the past where we've been booking until the day we left, or even like trying to find venues on tour.
The West Coast tour was two shows like in the same day.
Yeah, pretty much. We had two, like on our last tour before East Coast for this album tour, we had two shows drop like within 24 hours and we managed to recover one of them.
Yeah.
It happens.
Yeah.
Like, I still had a good time in Vegas, so not complaining.
Yeah,
it was fun.
And then, how are the goals of this band right now? Like, I'm taking the temperature on Struck Out, because I know like this band is very album oriented. I feel like you're always like working toward having a collection of songs and then recording them. Whereas I think some other bands are just like very focused on just playing as much as they can. So I'm wondering, what's going on with y'all?
I always think about that. I guess, I don't know. That's my favorite part of it, is like writing and then like recording it and then having something to present to somebody. Like, that's my favorite part of it. Mm-hmm. I love performing. But like, I like performing new songs, you know? Like, so as far as goals go, like, I just think, I don't know if everybody else, I think we've talked about it. Just, we want to make like the best records we can and like keep making them.
But what does that mean? Like, what's the best record for Struck Out? I think that's like changes with like how your music tastes shapes and like,
yeah.
And we want to challenge ourselves. We want to be like,
just keep pushing it. Our creative.
Yeah.
Selves, whatever.
Like, I never want to get bored. I never want to present a song that makes everybody else bored. You know, I never want to be like, not that it has to be inherently complex, but it's just like, it changes, you know? And I think I'm always going to be pulling towards simplicity, but like an interesting simplicity. Like, I think I want to be like, I just want to be able to like present something that's different than the other bands that are out there. Not that like we're so fucking unique or whatever, but like, I just want to be like, I just want to be able to be like something interesting and different. And I think like, I don't know. I think that want always makes us like not fit in. Not that we're like so crazy that like you don't understand it or whatever, but like, I think it makes it like, we've always felt kind of you know, when we play with the loud bands, we're like too soft. And if we play with the soft bands, we're too loud. And if we play with like the indie crowd, we're emo. And if we play with the emo crowd, we're indie. Like, I don't like, it always happens. Like, we're like, it depends who we're with. Like, I remember playing in LA and
we're always like, what people don't want.
Well, yeah. it always feels like that. Like, we played with in LA with like Fuck Forever and a couple other bands, and we played our set. And then I think one of the, I don't know if it was Fuck Forever, somebody else in the crowd was like, oh yeah, no, you're that emo band. But you guys are cool.
I remember that. I fucking remember.
Like that was like it was the caveat of like, no, but you're like a good one, which is like, I never see those, you know? And I was just like, all right, like, I don't know. Not that like, I have my own like qualms with emo, but I have like, I feel like there's things I don't like about every genre, and that's what fuels like Stroke Out, is like my distaste of specific things. Like, I see hardcore as like meaty, douchey stuff or whatever, and every time it like shows a bit of femininity or just like, anytime it shows a bit of like pain, then I'm like interested in it. And I see emo as like navel-gazy and stupid, but then every now and then it shows something that's like gut-wrenching and like chops your head off, you know? And then same with anything. Like, indie can be like boring as fuck, or it can be like thoughtful. I don't know. Like, it just depends. Like, yeah, so I let all the things that I hate about all these genres kind of like guide my principles. And I try to be the best version of all those things, which ends up with a band being a hodgepodge, you know? I don't know.
Do you agree with this?
Yeah.
It just ends up where it ends up. I don't know. I mean, at least for me, like when I think about what I'm writing and what I think about what my goals are, like I want to be the best version of all those things.
Yeah. You know? I mostly focus on like the technical side of things. I just want to be as technical and interesting as possible on my instrument. And then from there, just like sonic expansion of what we end up with, especially in the studio, you know, with this most recent record, there was a lot of stuff where it's like, we had 3.5 days with Jack Shirley and I finished my drum parts in one day. And I was like, well, that's it for me. Like, I don't have anything else to do. So I ended up adding a bunch of like piano and trumpet and shakers and aux percussion and overdubbing vocals and like just doing weird sonic things. And that's like my shit, is just like filling it out sonically to the extent of our ability without it being like too over the top. There's that line where it just gets cheesy. I don't know. It's just been an exercise in how finely I can ride that line and how close I can get before it becomes dumb. And I feel like every record we've done, I've gotten like closer and closer to that, like that epitome of where I want us to be sonically, just with extras and whatnot. Not necessarily like our sound as a whole, just like how much I can add before it collapses in on itself.
Yeah.
I think I'm also just like in a different headspace. Well, the last album, when I started writing those songs, I was kind of like in a mind space of like, I don't even know if we're going to be a band still, you know? And then like Hostway came along and I was like, okay, I think we can do this. So it's like this kind of like uncertainty. It's kind of marked throughout the whole album, I think, of just like what's left, you know? And then now we're writing, like, I feel like I just like, Struck Out's really enjoyable band to be in again, which it's been since Hostway's been in it. It's been super enjoyable.
Yeah.
And like, and having Garrett, like,
kudos.
Garrett approach the band is like, this is the thing I want to do in, like, be in, where I'm so used to like people leaving. I'm so used to people like, you know, oh, I'm done, you know? But like Garrett wanting to be a part of it was like exciting. And then like Josue like being so down is like exciting to write, you know?
And
so
then I'm just still here.
I know.
Hold down the fort.
You're reliable, James.
Yeah. I mean,
the band needs you.
Thanks.
It does. I mean, we do. I mean, it's also like a matter of like, I know that like, because I'm in that headspace of like, yeah, we're all down. Like I have this step of confidence that I feel like I had with What You Deserve of like, but the confidence was different. Like the confidence was like, this needs to happen or I'm going to kill myself. Like that was like kind of like, that was what it was, you know, that was what was like feeling it like realistically. And now the confidence is like, we're all fucking on the same page. Like, let's fucking do it.
And man, you're all enjoying
it. It's a big enjoyable experience. Like it's all, and we're all realistic about like what we can accomplish. We know inherently like making loud bands only going to get you so far, especially with like what's popular today, which is not like a slam on what's popular today. Like I love so many pop albums, but like it's like a thing of like, it's like I want to be the best version of what this band could be, you know, I want it to be like, what's the, I want you to, if what I, what I've always wanted with Strikeout, which is like, if you know this genre, then you know that we're really good at it.
And I think that's what we've been working towards up till this most recent record, with like the coherent, just like punk post hardcore sound, noise rock that we've been working with. And that's why it's self-titled. Mm-hmm. And now that we're moving forward, it's like, now we'll probably get like weirder and more experimental. I hope so. That's like my goal.
Cause it's like, we were like, okay, so last album I thought was pretty experimental in the sense of like structurally, cause it's like a long album.
Definitely
long songs. But my whole thought was like, can I do that with like a short song? Can I do that with like a hook and hook and hook, and like just pack it with like hooks and ideas so that it's constantly changing. So it's weirder in that aspect, but it's also like 2.5 minutes is an easier chunk. You know what I mean? Like,
It just depends on challenge. How much you pack in. Cause you look at, you know, like Dillinger Escape Plan, like the Mullet Burdens, like a 1:50 song.
Yeah.
And it has more things going on in it than probably any of our songs do.
That's what I mean. Like, that's part of what it is. Like, it's not, I don't know.
And it's still the weirdest thing on the planet.
And it's still like, and it's still, I think we're just exploring a different avenue, I guess, a different way of doing it. And it's, I want whatever we make next to like just break us open. And,
I mean, I think it's funny because you keep describing a Strikeout and all these like juxtaposing ways that seem like they're always in conflict. And even like you said, like we're a band dealing in excess, but you always said that like, I'm searching for simplicity. So it always seems like it's just these two, like always two, like, usually opposite factors like hitting up against each other.
Well, I always feel like I pull towards simplicity because I have like, I've joked before that I'm the least talented member of my band, and I still think that's true. But it's also like a matter of like, I think having that and having that urge to just like, this is two chords or whatever, even like the Accrued Vacation Days is one chord over and over again, and I just move around it. And like doing that is like saying like, okay, I've made a box and here's the skeleton. Like you get to play within that box to like Josue and James and Garrett. Like you get to figure out what you're doing within that box. And so like, I think the fact that I've drawn an outline is like what, that has to be simple. Maybe I could approach it differently, be more complex. But for me right now, the way I write is like, I have to be simple so that they can go crazy on it, you know? And there's still like, it's still like somebody's like, oh, this is a song, you know?
Yeah.
Otherwise, it's crazy. Not that like, I don't know, maybe one day I'll want to do that kind of record, but that's where I'm at right now.
Mm-hmm. Can y'all play something else for us, please?
Sure.
No, it's not.
Speaking of a simpler song.
Yeah.
I'll play KMF.
Oh, what?
Yeah.
Do we have to?
Again?
The people love it.
The people give them what they want.
All right, cool.
I wanna write smaller songs. I want you to like me, but I don't like smaller songs. I don't like smaller songs. Why is every dream popper sound the same to me? Are they afraid of indie rock up here? Reverb and drum machine, it's harmless, it will always be.
Keep going.
Is that Angelo? Oh my god, I thought that was the strings for a second.
No, that was Angelo.
Yeah, my dog was not a fan of that take.
No, I think he was like viscerally responding. Like,
I liked it.
He's getting choked up. He's choking up.
It's charming if you make a mistake, right?
It's charming.
It shows you're affable and
human.
You got human qualities.
What a dog.
Yeah.
It's funny because KMF is the only strikeout song where if I can actually hear a mistake in. Well, A, because it's a simpler song.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm like, oh, I understand it. And but also because but also because since I animated that thing over it however many years ago, that's a song where I like listen to like 5 second chunks repetitively over and over. So I like know that specific recording extremely well. Which maybe you don't like, but I know that one really well.
It's fine. It's fine. That's also I knew it was gonna be that song when I wrote it.
Mm-hmm.
Of like, this is you want to hear it, you know?
This is the one you want
to
hear.
But it's also like, it's so I wrote it to be like, this is why I don't write songs like this.
Yeah, but it's so fun, dude.
No, that's what it, part of it
that's
is
why
like,
it exists.
I know.
And why we won't do it again.
Yeah,
though.
Well, it's part of it is like, you know, I don't like doing this, but if I did do it, I'd crush it. That's what the song is.
That's what the song is about.
Yeah, it's like,
it's
you
that
know,
hubris.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's just ego, you know? If like, hey, I don't write songs like this, but you know, if I did, I'd fucking school all of you.
Yeah, I really like that song a lot. I mean, it's my favorite, like jam. fun jam.
Yeah, it's a sing along.
That one and also 2S, I think.
Okay, cool.
I really enjoy 2S.
Yeah. I want to write more songs that are like, I don't know, not like that necessarily, but like in a sense, like other people like want to sing along to, you know, mm-hmm. That's where my head's at too. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, we'll see what happens. I can say that and it ends up being the weirdest fucking not that in the world. That just happens. I remember when we wrote, I like the music I like, we were like, this song's gonna be so complicated and like, it's so weird. And then we recorded it and it was like, oh, it sounds like a Weezer song.
This is good because I'm talking about my favorites because I think Chemicals was my favorite song for a long time because it gave me that like visceral, just like, oh, this is a great song feeling. And now I think Daniel Listens to Krautrock is that for me now because like you said, it ratatouille'd me.
Yeah.
Got that. Yeah,
that's good.
But yeah, but otherwise I think if it's the category of just like, wow, this makes me feel something in my heart, that's like, I think 2S is the one.
Cause yeah,
I'm like,
yeah, okay.
But this is great because I want to ask what your favorite songs in Struck Out are, for whatever reason they may be. Because I don't think I've asked that on this podcast yet because I wasn't asking that question before, earlier on.
Dang. Let's start with James. I don't know.
my favorite Struck Out song is the first one we played on this podcast, which was Tell Me You Feel the Same. I think that in terms of my actual drum parts, it's the best thing I've ever written, technically speaking, and just really pushing myself to be like weird but catchy. And just, I don't know, I'm just really, really proud of my parts on that song in particular and all the like additional vocals and additional auxiliary percussion that I added to like the ending of it. And it gets really like very atmospheric and thricey, and just the song as a whole, like how it's structured, going from this just like starting off with just this ridiculous like noise solo and then moving into like this really interesting like indie rock jam and then moving into just an absolutely like devastating breakdown that leads into this giant ambient swarthing section that's like somehow like super catchy. I don't know, I think we really outdid ourselves on that one in just every aspect, and I never get tired of playing it. So
when you say like technically, you just like, what makes it the best technically for you? Just like the construction?
Yeah, the construction of it, the like different rudiments that I was able to integrate into the drum parts effectively, how like technically tight I was in terms of just like keeping like dead on the beat while doing just tons of like snare ghost notes and just really like pushing myself to just get as many notes as possible, as densely as possible, and like switching up the meter and like getting like polyrhythmic with it and like tiny little parts. And then these like shreddy drum fills I was able to somehow pull off with only like one mistake. That's very, very obvious. If you listen to the album a bunch of times, you'd be like, oh, that's where he missed. And then just going from that into like the more atmospheric section where I'm able to get like a little jazzier and a little groovier. And so I can like get in touch with both sides of myself in that song within the same like 5.5 minutes. Yeah.
I see. Apply techniques that you're proud of.
Yeah, and able to craft it into something that I feel like is relatively unique. Mm-hmm. Not only within the genre, but just the parts as a whole. I mean, obviously everybody riffs off somebody, but it, you know, I still haven't quite figured out who I'm ripping off on that song yet, so that gives me hope that I'm somewhat unique. I don't know. I'll figure it out one day.
Josue.
I'm next. I guess, like, I have two different ones because they're two different point of views. Like, I guess the song I like to play live, just different from, like, when we record it. I guess, like, it's Queer Shit just because it's a fun song. There's a lot of cool, fun meaning behind it, but guitar-wise, it's just fun to play because it's, like, a weird mix match of, like, stuff I liked in high school, I guess, like, riff-wise. Oh. Kind of, like, there's, like, Smashing Pumpkin riffs, a lot of Slayer riffs, and some Minutemen in the middle to make it punk, you know? Because, like, I'm describing, like, the Powerpuff Girls, but, like, those three elements are, like,
Sugar Spice and Minutemen.
Yeah, so all that stuff is just, like, yeah, it just makes it fun, you know? And it's just a crazy fun song. I guess recording wise, like, I don't know, there's a lot. But like, I think overall with the Polaroid Part 2, just cause, it's kind of fun to kind of create like a big guitar thing on top of it. I was really trying to go for like a U2 kind of sound, but not be U2, I guess, you know, which, yeah, that makes Daniel laugh all the time. I feel like I did a good job on it just cause like, I feel like I captured what I liked about his playing and what the approach to it musically and stuff like that. And
U2's
a strike. Huh? Yeah.
You mean U2?
Yeah, yeah. Like guitar wise, yeah. And a struck out song. So pretty proud of it. So.
Huh. U2 came back.
It all comes around.
U2 always comes back.
Yeah. It's just coming back. Yeah. The edge, you know?
The wedge.
The wedge. Stop. I don't know. This is a hard question.
We gave you a lot of time.
I know. Well, here's the thing. So I am proud of Chemicals structurally and like just what it became, because that was a lot of when Ian was in the band, that was like building it, and subject matter wise, I'm really proud of those lyrics. There's like some issues I have with it now, but like at the time, like I felt like that was a huge accomplishment. But I don't like playing that song live just because it, like, I get that it's like our best, like it's one of our best like songs, but it's also like, it takes it out of me. Like, it really, it's like emotionally like draining. And unless I have like a disconnect, and then you're not really like doing the song justice or whatever. And then you don't want to do that. But I still like impressing people. So like, it's that battle of like, you know what I mean? So that's like where I'm at with that one. But, on the newer album, like Queer Shit is the complete opposite feeling. Like it feels like a release every time I play it. And as long as I get to like just play it, like it's fun, you know, that one's really fun to play. And I always feel like even if we play something slow, I feel like amped up when I play that one. I guess We've Tried Nothing and we're all out of ideas. I love playing that song live. I love how different it is. I love how it feels like there's moments in that where the tension is high. It really gets like, it feels tense the entire time. I like that. I like that it feels like it's going to calm down and do that. And I also like what that song's about. You know, I feel like that song is the most like, here's what Struck Out's going to be from now on. You know what I mean? Like lyrically anyway, like that's how it feels. And performing that one always feels good. But recording wise, I feel like I dropped the ball in the vocals, like in the last part, because I just like, I was sick at the time, but I was also just like, I figured out that melody right at the end, and then I didn't feel like I sang it right, and then I didn't go back to change it. I was just like, and then like months later, I'm like, oh, I should have done that, you know? But like, it's ultimately like, I think it's good still. It's,
I like it like, a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. People. Yeah.
It's very desperate.
I'm probably
which is cool.
Wrong, you know? Like, but that's just where my head's at whenever I listen to it. But I love playing that song live, like probably, you know? Yeah. I don't know. It changes because like you start missing songs, you know, you start going, oh, we haven't played that one in a while, you know, like Avoiding Parables is always fun to like jump into just because it's got cool stops in it. And I like any song that like has attention or like has people where like they go, oh, what's happening? Like, you know, or like it gets quiet and it has a moment. Yeah, I don't know.
That's fair.
Yeah.
It changes. Yeah. I think that's the most interesting thing, because whenever I ask that question, I think it's more of just like, where are you at right now?
Yeah.
With your stuff. Because that's always what it is, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. I've asked this band many times about good shows and weird shows, and if there's anything that sticks out right now that you can think of that's new, is there anything?
Well, I mean, from the last couple shows we did full band, we just played Soma San Diego, and then we played the Garden Grove amphitheater, the Locker Room, and I haven't seen that many people mosh for us in a really long time.
Yeah.
And which show?
Both the Soma San Diego show and the Locker Room show we just played last weekend, both with On Drugs from Portland, who are also on Postmark Records with us. They kill. Like, I think they just released a new single this week, and it's great. But yeah, it was just like really surprising that, like, you know, at Soma, by the end, we had like a pretty big, like, 15-20 person pit going for accrued vacation days.
That's too many people.
I say not enough.
It's just, yeah, it's nice to play to new people.
Yeah,
no, it
it's
is.
Nice
yeah.
To play, like,
yeah.
To, I mean, we're getting older, but like, it's like, yeah, nice to play like young kids and shit.
Yeah,
I'm like stoked on it.
Yeah, I definitely noticed like at the Garden Grove show, it was a lot of like younger kids because it was one, all ages, and two, free.
Yeah.
And I mean, one kid who came and talked to us was like, oh yeah, I downloaded your album in third period. And I was like, oh wow. I was like, how old are you? Like, oh, I'm 17. I was like, that's literally a decade now, like, yeah, for me.
That's cool.
Yeah, crazy. It was really cool. And then, like, you know, the second we started playing that show, like, several of the audience members who all you know, looked relatively young just opened up a pit like right away.
Yeah,
like immediately. And I was like, oh, this is like cool, like there's
That's
still
great.
Kids
oh,
that
I'm
are
so
like
happy
down
for you.
Yeah, there's, it's cool that there are still kids who are like down and like ready to just tear themselves up.
Yeah, and I also think it's like, I mean, I get in my own head about that shit because I'm like, when in the San Diego show, it was during the crude vacation days, they started moshing, but they started moshing right during the quiet part, which makes me think, like, are we an accessory just to, like, this? Is that what it is?
But then they kept moshing.
I'm funny when you say that. It's like, man, you got to go to more metal shows. There's like, it just always be moshing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
100% of the time.
No,
yeah,
for sure. I mean, like, I remember.
ABM, always be moshing.
I think the last.
That's a Struckout shirt.
Is it?
Oh, it is.
Shit. You gotta draw it for us.
Yeah, you want to sign
AB
that?
And
you gotta get on that, Karina.
Yeah.
What are you doing? Can't make more art for us, Karina. I think it'd be remiss if we don't mention how long we've known each other.
Yeah, we've known each other for a long time.
A very long time.
Very long time.
Very long
and we've
time.
Been playing. You were original Daniel crew in Long Beach. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Like, I think, you know, it's basically like you, Jenny Barrier, Lewis, and like people we don't see anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was at that Chain Reaction show.
Yeah.
Oh man.
Oh, wow.
Wow. That's
yeah.
Rough,
what a
rough
show. Times.
I remember.
I came later.
I remember booking that show, and then in the parking lot, I was like talking to the promoter and whatever. And he was like, "By the way, like, don't like mention to the other bands that you didn't have to do any pre-sale for the show, because like all the other bands had to do like 40 or 50 or whatever." And I was like, wow, you're a huge piece of shit.
I didn't realize you didn't have to do pre-sale for
no,
that show.
We've never done a pre-sale show.
I think early on in the band, I think I was like, it's very different now. It was a long time ago.
Yes.
And it's very different now. The dynamic's very different now. But I was like, we're playing shows or whatever. And I think I told James, like, just very, I was like, I don't want to do pre-sale. I'd rather play underwater in a pile of mud than do pre-sale. I'd rather play in like the spiky pits in Mario
and
than
I
do pre-sale.
Wholeheartedly agreed.
Yeah. And it was like, yeah, that was super pre-sale. Cause I think like, I was just like, I don't want to do it unless it's pre-sale. And then James sold me on the Chain Reaction show. It's not pre-sale. And I was like, well, cool. I'll play in a bucket of water. Like, I don't give a shit.
Yeah. And it was only not pre-sale because they were like desperate for a fourth band that night. And we're just like, we're just gonna throw it. I was like, we'll do it, but we're not doing any pre-sale.
Yeah,
he was like,
it's
you
one
know
of
whatever,
shows
fine.
It's just like live practice, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, that has its purpose.
It's fine.
We're at a place now, not to be like whatever, but like we're at a place now where we can actually, we're like planning our shows more. And we're being like, yeah, I don't want to play that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't go to Monday Night Bar. Thank you for the invite, though. I don't know. Like,
yep.
It's just like thoughtful. Or like if it is like, I'm also, I think, trying to be more conscious about, I think we all are trying to be more conscious of like we got asked to play a benefit show most recently for DSA, and then I think the show before that, and we played like, you know, a show for what was the club name that was like the one that Oscar set up?
The Border Angels.
Yeah, the Border Angels, like benefit show for, you know, immigrants that are crossing over and them needing help. And we played a punk show like that, electric, and I didn't know what the vibe was going to be. And we got there and it was kind of like a picnic vibe. And I was like, we shouldn't have played loud. Like, we shouldn't do that. Like, that doesn't feel right. So like for the DSA show, they were like, do you want to play acoustic or they said, do you want to play the show? And I was like, yeah. What's the vibe? Like, I asked straight up, like what is it? Yeah. Are they going to be like, it's like a picnic? Like, is there food and stuff? And then they were like, oh, yeah. And I was like, yeah, I feel like we should play acoustic. She's like, yeah, I think that would be better, too. I'm like, yeah. If there's people over 50 there, like, I don't want to, like...
Yeah.
I don't think that, like... it's like, it's what you have to go in service of whatever the event is, you know?
Oh, totally. I mean, we're still pretty loud at, like...
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's good to be conscious of that.
And especially with that gig where it was outside, if we had done full electric...
It would have been bad.
Yeah, that would have been real bad.
It would have been just like, it would have been like, everyone stop enjoying yourselves and listen to us. Like, yeah. You know? Yeah. Which is like, fine. Like, but also like, it's also
we're
like,
donating tinnitus to all of your heads.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it's just like, you got to, you know, read the room and pick your shows better. Like, it's nice to have that luxury of just being able to like, oh, I want to play this. I don't want to play that. You know, it's nice. And people hit you up. And so it's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's changed a lot.
Changed a lot.
From the dorm room days of me lying on the bed next to you.
Being very sad.
I was so sad. I'm better now.
Yeah. Sad in different ways.
Sad in new exciting
new
ways.
Exciting ways.
Well, at least you never thought you could be.
Yeah.
But let me tell you.
Gosh. Oh, Jesus.
The ways are infinite.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, at least I'm changing my problems.
Yeah.
Problems change every day.
Yeah.
Every day.
Evolving, changing, growing.
Yeah. God. Yeah.
I'm sad in new ways. That's fun.
Fuck, yeah. Dude.
I was brighter, bushy-tailed. Now I'm sad. But yeah, that's how it goes.
We're going to watch Star Trek after this.
It'll we are.
It's going to be chill. We're going to open the windows.
Yeah, got really hot in here.
It's so warm.
It happens.
Toasty ribs.
So that's what happens when you only have one ceiling fan and it's in the room adjacent to where you're sitting right now.
Yeah.
Oh,
man. Yeah.
Okay, close this out. Last one.
It's an old one. This is before anybody that was in this room was in the band except for me. That's how old the song is.
What song?
Polaroid.
Oh, yeah.
Polaroid of a Punch
Brad
Bowl.
Yeah. Shout out to Brad.
Shout out to Brad.
Shout out to Brad and Josh.
Before you play it, though, I always was wondering what motivated to do Polaroid Part 2, because I'm like...
I think it was structurally similar, and I stole the idea from Me Without You.
Okay.
Because like, they do a thing where like structurally similar, and then thematically it was similar, because Polaroid of a Punch Bowl is just a song about... I'm literally like just like a diary entry. It's referenced to like the title's referenced to like Instagram of just like, or just any sort of like social media of just like documenting something that doesn't necessarily need to be documented, but like just doing it anyway because you feel that way in the moment. And so like that's what the song is about. It's just me documenting. It's literally it's about the winter break I had in like college. Like that's what I say. These 2 weeks are gonna feel strange, and it's like just me going home to San Diego for 2 weeks and not knowing anybody.
Yeah,
it's like literally where I'm at. And part two is just like where I was at when I wrote that song, and it was like structurally similar because it's verse chorus, and then like it has like a little outro, you know? Yeah.
Yeah, I think I was just surprised because I always thought like you didn't want to even like think about that album ever again, but then when Polaroid Part 2 came out,
I mean, that's
like,
still true.
Well, I think
that song is still okay.
Yeah, well, I think
I don't know.
It made me realize that like this band has grown, because like that isn't like a whole blight upon Strega anymore, because like this band has grown. It's like, oh yeah, we have multiple things we can be at any one time.
Yeah, I think it's also the idea of Strega out. When I started it was I wanted to be the Boris of punk rock, in the sense that like, well, I heard Boris is like Pink, and then I heard their other albums, and I was like, they can do metal, but at any angle they want to do it. They can do speed metal, they can do like really poppy stuff, they can do drone-y, sludgy stuff, and I wanted to be that for punk rock. I wanted to be like able to be a garage punk band, able to be an emo band, able to be a post-hardcore band, and like have it all and like do it better than anybody else. Not that that's like true, but like I want to try.
It's just what we want.
Yeah,
you gotta have goals.
Yeah, exactly. Oh my God. Like, I want to set that bar. I want to be able to draw a line in the sand and be like, "This is, you know, I'm gonna do whatever you're doing. I can do it, you know, and I can do it about as well as I want to, you know." Yeah.
Okay.
Call it try. But cool.
Take us there.
Oh,
take
one
us there.
Thing too that I was like kind of thinking about right now, like we all met, like with me and Andrew, we met struck out.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Oh man.
Now we're doing this.
It's crazy. Life's crazy, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
More loco.
It's a small world.
Yeah.
After all.
Take us there.
Take us there, man.
Okay.
Is this Polaroid of a punch bowl the first one?
Well, that's it.
Right? That's it.
Cool.
Hopefully it didn't clip.
Fucking recorded.
Oh, recorded?
No!
That'd be hilarious.
I mean, that's the kind of thing that's happened before. So you never know.
Thank you for listening to The Living Room. This week our guest was Struck Out, and you can find them on struckoutmusic.bandcamp.com. The Living Room was created by Lucas Cathy and Karina Taylor, recorded by James Goldman at Struck House, and produced by Hannah Mraz. You can listen to us on SoundCloud, iTunes, or whatever podcast app you prefer. If you have questions or would like to chat with us, email thelivingroompodcast@gmail.com or hit us up on Twitter or Instagram. Special thanks goes to the residents of the Struck House for dealing with our noise, and of course, thank you for listening. Thank you. That's it.